Hare Krishna, our great fortune once again to hear His Grace Padmanayan Prabhuji in Sri Dham Mayapur addressing to all the Bhakti Shastri devotees on Unit 3 of Bhagavad Gita. And today we are starting with Chapter 18 of Bhagavad Gita. And this is 13th of January 2014. This is Part 1 of Day 6 of the session. Hare Krishna.
नाना शास्त्र विचारणैक निपुणौ साधर्म संस्थापको लोकानां हितकारिणौ त्रिभुवने मान्यौ शरण्याकरौ राधा कृष्ण पदारविन्द भजना नन्दे नमत्तालिको वन्दे रूप सनातनौ रघुजुगौ श्रीजीव गोपालकौ सनातनौ रघुजुगौ श्रीजीव गोपालकौ
Welcome back after the weekend. So today we are going to carry you through the same subject, elevation through the moods. We will be discussing from chapter 18, summary of all the topics of Bhagavad Gita. Whatever topics we have discussed so far in Bhagavad Gita, we will be covering all the topics in this chapter. That's why we say Bhagavad Gita in essence. So we will be covering this whole session in two lessons. Today we will go up to text number 55 and tomorrow from 56 to 76. I think these two lessons will give you kind of a complete understanding about what we have learned so far in Bhagavad Gita, in essence. So, overview of today's lesson, up to text number 55. Text number 1 through 12, we will be discussing about reacting with detachment, is true renunciation and bring freedom from reaction. Krishna has been discussing in different contexts on and off about this renunciation in different contexts like sannyas and tyag. So in last chapter also Krishna was discussing. So now in first 12 verses Krishna is going to clarify those points. Then the conclusion of Sankhya and Vedanta, actions directed by the Super Soul, bring freedom from reaction. We have already discussed in Jnana section, but still again it's going to come up. Then the entanglement of the three moods, we'll see in again in this section. Then worshipping the Lord through one's occupational work is true renunciation and bring freedom from reactions. That means somebody who is perfectly following Varnashram Dharma, how he can come to the platform of realizing the self, Atma, Atma Tattva Gyan. How the execution of occupational duties help one realize Atma and ultimately become an worshipper of Paramatma, which is coming in the next, from Jnana Yoga to pure devotional service. So this is how we are going to discuss in this set of verses today, and the next is tomorrow we are going to cover. We'll see it tomorrow. Regarding Karma Yoga, from text number 1 to 12. Okay, what we are discussing in the last class, somebody remembers some points before we enter into this section? From chapter 17.
Yes, different types of faith. Actually, about faith, actually, because different types of faith, because in the 16th chapter, there was a description of divine and demoniac nature, and the divine, they act according to scripture. And in the 17th chapter, Arjuna is asking, those who don't act according to scripture and who do something according to their own imagination or different things, or to worship a human, or what is their situation? Are they in goodness, passion, or ignorance?
Very good. Tesam nishtha tuka krishna sattva maha rajasama. Oh Krishna, now will you please explain to me people who are whimsically engaged in different activities, which category do they fall in? Sattva, raja, tama. Yeah, regarding faith. Then that's how the 17th chapter starts. Then, you know, different way of worshipping, you know, in different moods, worship in different moods is being described. What else we have discussed?
Austerity
in the moods,
charity
in the moods, sacrifices in the moods. Then, what else?
The destination also is not the same.
Destination is also not the same. Yeah, different destinations are there. And toward the end of chapter 17, what was the subject matter we are discussing?
Om Tat Sat.
Om Tat Sat. Very good. So, in Om Tat Sat, what is Om Tat Sat? Something you remember? Yes, that's the, that represents supreme absolute truth. And anything you remember? Tat, Sat, Om, Tat, Sat. These three words.
Well, there's three verses in which they are described, and the stages when they engage in sacrifice and becoming. They vibrate these syllables.
Very good. Now you are bringing us to connect to chapter 18 through chapter 17. Here it is said, Tat iti anadhi sandhaya phalam yajna tapakriya dana kriyascha vividha kriyante moksakanshivhi. Those who are desiring liberation from this material world, moksha kankhivi, what do? They perform sacrifice, austerity, and different types of vividha, different types of, you know, activities they perform. How do they perform? Iti anabhisandhaya phalam, with no desire for the results, they perform these activities while uttering the word tat. Uttering the word tat, without seeking results, sacrifices, austerities and charities are performed by those with desire for liberation from the asat material world. So now, in this particular text, Krishna is explaining how somebody can perform his activities like charities, sacrifices and penances, but without being attached to the fruits of his activities. But now when Arjuna, he heard this, well, now you are saying that somebody has to remain detached from the fruits of his activities, but before also you have spoken kind of, you know, same thing, sarva karma phalat tyagam, you know, in different contexts, in chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 9, chapter 12, you also discussed about all these things,
Now, can you clarify a little bit more? Just to bring to your attention about Krishna, Arjuna is asking these two points to clarify the difference between sannyasa and tyaga, which is already discussed in the previous sections of Bhagavad Gita. For example, in text number 513, Krishna is speaking about sannyas. What he is saying? Sarva karmani manasa sannyasyaste sukham vasi navadvare pure dehi naiva kurban nakarayan. So in this text, Krishna is speaking sarva karmani manasa sannyasyaste. A jnani, having realized that he is different from this body, he is spirit soul, in that platform, what do the jnani do? He renounces all his activities. All activities are renounced. Okay? That means Krishna is saying, okay, at one point, somebody has to renounce his activities. Then again, he is saying, sannyasa yoga yuktatma, in text number 28 in 9th chapter, when Krishna, he told jat karoshi, jadasnashi, jadjuhoshi, dadashi, jat, everything you should do for me. Then after that he is saying sannyasa yoga yuktatma. Sannyasa yoga, being engaged in offering everything to me. Then again in explaining tyaga, 4th chapter, Krishna said, tyaktva karma phala sangam. Here he is asking to give up attachment for the fruits of the activities. Okay? Again in text number 11, chapter 12, he is saying, sarva karma phala tyagam tatah kurujatatmavan. He is saying, give up all the results of your work with great attention. So that means now Arjuna's doubt is, sometimes you are telling me to give up my activities and sometimes you are telling me to give up the attachment for the fruits of the activities. So as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you, my dear Krishna, you are not supposed to confuse me. I hope you are not making some contradictory statements here in Bhagavad Gita. So please, can you clarify my doubts? I hope maybe this tyaga and sannyas, these two words, they mean same thing. Or if they do mean different, then can you explain to me? Is that clear? So far? Okay. So now Arjuna, he wants further clarification from Krishna. That's why he is putting forward this question in the beginning of chapter 18. Now we can together chant this verse in the beginning. Arjuna uvacha sannyasasya mahabahu tattvam icchami veditum tyagasya cha rishikesa prithakkesi nishudana. Yes. Somebody can read this.
Arjuna said, O mighty armed one, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation, tyaga, and of the non-order of life, sannyasa, O killer of the Kesi demon, master of the temple.
So he is asking the difference between tyaga and sannyasa. Why Krishna is asking about the difference between tyaga and sannyasa? Because Krishna has explained in different context before in Bhagavad Gita. So it seems like apparently contradicting his own statement. So please clarify to me how I can understand what actually you mean by saying, when you are saying you have to give up your activities and when you are saying you have to give up the fruits of your activities. So how can I understand this? So here he is addressing Krishna into a, he is saying, O killer of Kesi demon. And Rishikesha, master of the senses, right? Sanyasasya mahabahu tattvam icchami veditum tyagasya cha Rishikesha. And again he is saying Kesi Nishudana. So Prabhupada is explaining in his purport, we will go to that. But before that, when he is saying that sannyasa, okay, next
verse will explain this. Okay, so just read this part what Prabhupada is saying in his purport. Why Arjuna is addressing Krishna as Rishikesha and Kesi Nisudana? Read the last paragraph from Prabhupada's purport.
Two words used in this verse to address the Supreme Lord, Rishikesha and Kesi Nisudana, are significant. Rishikesha is Krishna, the master of all senses, who can always help us attain mental serenity. Arjuna requests him to summarize everything in such a way that he can remain equipoised. Yet he has some doubts, and doubts are always compared to demons. He therefore addresses Krishna as Kesi Nisudana. Keshi was a most formidable demon who was killed by the Lord. Now Arjuna is expecting Krishna to kill the demon of doubt.
So even if we have some demons, after going through this chapter, all the demons should be eradicated. Means all our doubts should be completely eradicated. This is a blessing. In the beginning we can see. Okay, so then Krishna directly on text number 2, he is explaining this meaning. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sannyasam kavayo vidur. Kavis, those who are learned persons, they say giving up of activities that are based on material desire. That is called renounced order of life, sannyas. We are just taking it from Prabhupada's translation. Then, sarva karma phalatyagam prahu tyagam vichakshana. Giving up the results of all activities is what the wise call renunciation. Okay? So, some say, kamyanam karmanam nyasam. Nyasa. This word nyasa. Means sannyas. There is nyas in sannyas. Nyas means to renounce. Kamyanam karmanam nyasam. One has to give up kamya karmas. What are those kamya karmas? Prabhupada is saying are based on material desire. So those activities which are based on fulfilling personal desires should be given up. Kamyanam karmanam nyasam. Then sarva karma phalatyagam. Giving up the results of all activities. So how to understand? Here Krishna is explaining in terms of performing kamya karma and nitya karma. Kamya karmas are those activities which are intended to fulfill one's personal desires, and nitya karma are those activities which are obligatory, which must be performed on daily basis. So here, when Krishna is saying kamyanam karmanam nyasam, means the sannyasis who have entered into the sannyas order of life, they do not have to perform any kamya karma, but they are advised to perform nitya karma, means obligatory activities. For example, what is obligatory activities? Obligatory activities are like having daily sacrifices. Okay? Sandhya Vandanam. So those are daily rituals. One has to perform those daily rituals. But one who is in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi, for him it doesn't make any sense to perform any activities for the fulfillment of his personal desires, kamya karma. In Vedas explains, he says like, you know, putra kama jajeta, those who desire a son, they should worship. Those who want to go to the heavenly planet, they should worship. But a sannyasi is not necessary because he is ultimately going to go to the spiritual world to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord. That's why he is not interested with all these activities which are mentioned in the Karma Kanda section of the Veda. That's why he does not perform any Kamya Karma. Okay, clear. Then when it comes to say Sarva Karma Phalatyagam, there are some other devotees, some other practitioners, they do perform Kamya Karma and Nitya Karma, but they renounce the results. So that means, if we conclude this statement, now you can read this explanation from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He explains. You can read this.
Therefore, in Tyaga, one should perform all Kamya Karma and Nitya Karma without seeking results. Whereas in Sannyasa, one performs only obligatory duty, Nitya Karma, without the desire for results, and completely rejects rituals for personal gratification, Kamya Karma. This is the distinction of the two words, Sannyasa and Tyaga.
In Tyaga, one should perform all Kamya Karmas and Nitya Karmas. He is not renouncing any activities without seeking results. Even though he is performing his activities, but he is not seeking the results. Whereas in Sannyas, one performs only obligatory duties, Nitya Karmas, daily rituals, without the desire for results, and completely reject rituals for personal gratification. That is Kamya Karma. This is the distinction of the two words, Sannyasa and Tyaga. Clear? Okay. Thank you. So then, sorry, I need to drink some water.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did Krishna have six activities?
Yeah. Here it means Arjuna is referring to those who are following strict varnashram rules and regulations. They perform these nitya karmas. As I said, like in Veda, it is explained, if one performs his daily rituals perfectly, then he will be transported to the Pitriloka. Okay. Putra Kama, sorry, and one of those rituals which I said explained to you, like Sandhya Vandanam, okay, that is daily rituals. Sacrifices like, okay, a grihastha is supposed to feed a guest every day. That is Nitya Karma, okay. He has to offer some sacrifices to different demigods, because of him taking the benefits from different demigods. So these are coming under the category of Nitya Karma. For example, if a citizen in the country, if he is not respecting the king of the country, then he will be imprisoned. So similarly, as a citizen in the Lord's creation, if we do not follow the dictations which are given to us in form of Shastra, then we will be caught in this material world. So that's why there are some activities we have to perform to escape ourselves. These are some of the things. Anyway, but as you said, you know, daily bath, yes, for a devotee also this is Nitya Karma. Maybe, like, you know, I have seen some people in foreign countries, they do not take bath for, like, you know, many days. I have not seen, sometimes I have heard people speaking, They don't take bath for many days. That's kind of, you know, okay. For them, you know, taking bath once in a week, it's okay. But for a devotee, without taking bath, without cleansing his body, he's not comfortable to go and present himself in front of the Lord. So, definitely, it's very important for us. Cooking, for example, this is, you know, nitya karma for us. But, you know, we have to perform this nitya karma, cooking, without expecting any result. Definitely, we are doing all these things. It will get clarified as we go.
Would there be a link with this, from the sixth chapter, first verse, one who is sannyas, is he well?
Yeah, correct. Prabhupada is explaining in his purport. Now we are going to discuss about that. Good, thank you. Kamya karma means activities which are based on material desires. Somebody wants to become a rich man, okay? If you want to become a rich man, then you are advised to sacrifice a white goat in front of Vayudev. Okay, now he wants to have a son. Okay, there is some injunctions in Shastra. He has to follow some ritualistic ceremonies. How he can get a son? These are kamya karmas.
How can we perform kamya karmas without seeking refuge?
Hmm.
How is possible? There is some justification without seeking refuge.
Okay. You are talking about you personally in terms of devotee, or you are talking about somebody who is following Varnashram Dharma? Okay. Definitely we are going to discuss about it afterwards. But since you asked this question in the first place, let me clarify about it. So here, this kamya karma, renouncing the results of this kamya karma, means there is a system set up by the rishis in the karma kanda section of the Veda, that when somebody is performing his kamya karma, at the end of the performance of the ritualistic ceremonies, he is supposed to offer everything to Vishnu by chanting kayena vacha manasendriyarva buddhyatmana vanusrita svabhava karoti jajjat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayetat. Kayena vacha manasa, whatever activities I performed with the utilization of my body, words and mind, I am surrendering everything unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we come next, you will see in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how by surrendering everything to Lord Vishnu, he becomes free from the reactions of the world. Just like it is said, when there is an epidemic in the country, citizens are advised to take the vaccine. That's how they remain immune from the attack of the diseases. Similarly, just by surrendering the results of kamya karma or daily rituals to Vishnu, one remains free from the effects of this material world. Is that clear? Okay. For the devotee, if you say, definitely, we need to cook food to sustain this body. Okay, we have a desire, right? We want to cook, but we are not cooking for ourselves. What we are doing? We want to cook it for Krishna. First we want to offer it to Krishna, then we want to accept it. Explain in Bhagavad Gita. Where does it say? It says, what is that word? Mucchante sarvakil visay, bhunjate te tvagham papaje pachanti atmakarana. Very good student, you all know everything. So, this is how you understand. Yes. Okay, thank you. Yeah. So, now we are moving forward. So, Krishna explaining in text number 5. Now it's confirmed that we have to perform these activities. So what, why we have to perform? Now Krishna is elaborating on his point, what he has said so far. Jagya dana tapah karma na tyajyam karyam evatat jagyo danam tapaschaiva pavanani manishnam. Yeah. Read this.
Sacrifice, charity, and things are not to be given up but not to be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and things purify even the great souls.
Even the great souls. Since these activities purify, that's why one has to perform those activities. It's not that simply giving up these activities is going to help somebody in the progress of his on the progress on his path to renunciation or liberation. It's not going to help. That's why these activities has to be performed. Srila Prabhupada, he is making a very beautiful comment in his purport to this text number 5. Somebody can start reading from the beginning. Prabhuji, you should listen to this purport very carefully, especially. Somebody can read this purport? Yes?
The yogi should perform acts in the advancement of human society. There are many purificatory processes for advancing a human community's spiritual life. The marriage ceremony, for example, is considered to be one of these sacrifices. It is called Vivaha Yajna. Should a fiancé who is in the renounced order of life and who has given up his family relations encourage the marriage ceremony? The Lord says here that any sacrifice which is meant for human welfare should never be given up. Vivaha Yajna, the marriage ceremony, is meant to regulate the human mind so that it may become peaceful for spiritual advancement. For most men, this Vivaha Yajna should be encouraged even by persons in the renowned order of life. Sannyasins should never associate with women, but that does not mean that one who is in the lower stages of life, a young man, should not accept a wife in the marriage ceremony. All prescribed sacrifices are meant for achieving the Supreme Lord. Therefore, in the lower stages, they should not be given up.
Okay. So in the lower stage, this should not be given up. Somebody who is in condition platform, for him, definitely he has to perform all the activities, that's how he can become purified. Then if you go to the next, text number 6, Srila Prabhupada is making some very beautiful comment in his purport. Just you read from the slide. Yes. No. Please.
Although the sacrifices are purifying, one should not expect any results by such performances. In other words, all sacrifices which are meant for material advancement in life should be given up. The sacrifices that purify one's existence and elevate one to the spiritual plane should not be stopped. Everything that leads to Krishna consciousness must be encouraged.
You are just putting the gist from Prabhupada's purport. Very simple. Srila Prabhupada, he is kind of giving very, very, very enlightening purport and directly to the point so that he can cut through. Though it takes some time to digest, we have to see it very closely. Although all sacrifices are purifying, one should not expect any result by such performances. Okay? In other words, he is explaining that all sacrifices which are meant for material advancement in life should be given up. Means kama karma. These people in this world today, scientists, who are claiming that they have invented so many, inventions in the name of, uplifting human civilization, after all, what they are going to do with this? They are simply helping us to become more bound, more tightly bound in this samsara chakra. That's why he's saying that sacrifices which are meant for material advancement in life should be given up. But sacrifices that purify one's existence and elevate one to the spiritual plane should not be stopped. Then for the devotees he's saying, everything that leads to Krishna consciousness must be encouraged. As you said, a young man, he needs to get a wife. Definitely for a sannyasi, he is not supposed to associate with a woman. So, is he going to preach no woman association? No, he understands. A young man, by accepting a wife, he will lead a life in religious principles. That's how he will be freed from committing sin. If a young man who may need a woman by his side, by not allowing him to accept a wife, he will be implicated in sin. So why not help him to elevate by following those activities which are mentioned in the Shastra? Let him accept how it is explained in the Veda. So that's what it is saying. Everything that leads to Krishna consciousness must be encouraged.
When Prabhupada says everything,
yeah,
he's not just referring to the land before.
Yeah.
He's talking about whatever leads on to Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. This is the principle. Favorable things in Krishna consciousness must be accepted, unfavorable things must be rejected. Very simple principle. Definitely at the end of this chapter we will come to discuss about this principle. Everything. Jat karosi jadasnasi, jat juhasi dadasi jat, jat tapasyasi kaunte tat kurusya madarpanam. This is the reference. Everything. Prabhupada is actually encouraging us to take up spiritual life, means to accept direct worship of Krishna in our life. That's why he is kind of, you know, giving all sorts of purport. We have to understand him. Then in text number 7 he says, Niyatam Nyatasya tu sanyasa karmananopapadyate mohatasya parityagas tamasah parikirtita. Read this out. Niyatasya tu sanyasa. If somebody renounces his nitya karma, nitya, prescribed duties, how? Mohat, because of illusion. He doesn't understand what should be done, what should not be. In that way, being illusioned, he just gives up his nitya karma, prescribed duties. Then such renunciation is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So, how can we understand what should be done, what should not be done, because we are not conversant with all the instructions of the Vedic literatures. So in that situation, sometimes there is a danger of giving up something which is not supposed to be, or accepting something which I am not supposed to accept. So for us, what is the standard? Very good. Thank you. Ask your Guru. Guru Maharaj is there. That's why we are very safe. Whatever Guru Maharaj says, we just follow. We do not know. And we have no time, and we are also Kali Yuga people. What can we do? Very good. Then he says, anyway, the same kind of thing also was said in text number 8, in third chapter. Nyatam kuru karmatvam karma jaya hi karmana sarira jatra pichate na prasiddhet akarmana. Once prescribed duty should not be given up, rather it should be performed, because one cannot even maintain one's body, physical body, without work. So that's what Krishna is saying here again, that nitya karma has to be performed. This thing we'll also discuss again when we are coming to the last verse of this section. You will see. Okay, sorry. We didn't discuss about this. Nahi dehabitam satyam tektum karmanyasesataha yastu karma phalatyagi satyagitya vidiyate. It is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities, but he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who has truly renounced. That is why in our society we can see most of the time our devotees, and when you listen to Prabhupada also, they keep on saying, just do everything for Krishna. Do everything for Krishna. This is what it means by a person who is sincerely following Varnasram Dharma, what he is doing? His desire is, he understands that, oh, if I am not following the injunctions of Shastra, then my life is sinful. Oh, I don't want to become a sinful person. That's why to free himself from the reaction of sin, he is dedicated to follow prescribed duties which are mentioned for his, suitable for his varna and ashrama. But in case of a devotee, he understands fully that just by working in Krishna consciousness, by doing everything for the satisfaction of Krishna, I am immune from the reactions of this material world. So he is not worried about anything except doing everything for Krishna's satisfaction. Very simple. See, the way Prabhupada is kind of, you know, explaining us, giving us the system, I personally feel, you know, Prabhupada is the acharya who has made the understanding of Vedic conclusions so easy. We are directly given the fruit. You know, so nice. See, for example, we are supposed to always be engaged in the service of the Lord. This is what it is, our swarupa means, right? Jivel swarupa nitya Krishna das. Means you are always a servant. Whether you know it or don't know it, you are a servant of the Lord. Okay. When you are a servant of the Lord, what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to do everything for the pleasure of the master. So Prabhupada, he introduced a system automatically, a new bhakta who does not understand what is the meaning of servant, whether he is doing everything for the pleasure of his master or not. Just if he is simply just fitting into the system itself, he has achieved the goal. Morning time he wakes up for Mangala Arati, he is going to take bath and he is, you know, putting on tilak, he is putting on a clean cloth, then he is walking into the temple. All these activities are leading to that one goal, that my master is there waiting in the hall, in the temple. Now I am going to present myself in front of my master and I will sing his glories. That means he is a servant. Whether you know it or you do not know it, it does not matter. Your goal is attained. That's why I am saying, Prabhupada is the acharya who has made the very conclusions available to all of us in a very simplified way. Okay, you heard something.
So in this word, the word tyagi is used, and you saw that renunciation and sannyasi are different in a subtle sense, and you brought up the difference. And Prabhupada here in the purport said to this particular verse that devotees who work outside but still whether it's of the temple are considered as sannyasi.
Yeah.
So it seems to be a little contradicting. Can you please explain a bit, because they are doing work motivated by desire. They're not giving up the work. They're giving up just the result, which means they are tyagi. And that's what it's there in the
Can you read the next? After that, Prabhupada, what he is saying, he is there working in the office and giving his rajas. Just continue with the purport.
Yes, so there are many members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness who work very hard in their office or in the factory or some other place, and whatever they earn, they give to the society. Such highly elevated souls are actually sannyasis and are situated in the renounced order of life. It is clearly outlined here how to renounce the fruits of work, and for that purpose, and for what purpose
fruits
should be renounced.
Finished? Purport is finished?
Yes.
Okay, then in some, before he is saying something, actually what he means is here, somebody who is working in the factory, he is not identifying himself with the work there.
Yeah, I remember that.
Text number 9. Okay. Can you read this out, Prabhuji?
Yes, then?
Yeah. Text number 9. Correct. Yes. Just read this. Full purport.
Prescribed duties must be performed with this mentality.
Mm.
One should act without attachment for the result.
Mm.
He should be disassociated from these modes of work.
Mm.
A man working in Krishna consciousness in a factory does not associate himself with the work of the factory, nor with the workers of the factory.
Yes.
He simply works for Krishna.
Yeah.
And when he gives up the results for Krishna, he is acting transcendentally.
Yes. What he is doing? Actually, our grihasthas, they are working in the factory. Do you think they are thinking, if I am not going to, you know, become more friendly with this, you know, man, you know, I am at threat? No, he knows. My source of income is not my source of maintenance. Why? I can earn money, but maintenance is Krishna. He has this clear idea about that my source of income is not the source of my maintenance. That's why, what he is doing? He is working with the principle that, oh, Krishna has sent to me these kids, my wife, they are devotees. And I have to take care of Krishna's devotees. I have to help them become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada in 13th chapter, text number 8 through 12, right? Mm-hmm. Process of Jnana, there he explains, a grahastha, if he performs 4 activities, then he is as good as a sannyasi. What he is supposed to do? He is supposed to wake up early in the morning and do deity worship. Okay. Second thing, he must chant rounds with all his family members. Third thing, he must offer bhoga to the Lord and accept the remnants with his family members. Then fourth thing, he must study Bhagavatam with all his dependent family members. If he is sincerely following these 4 principles, he is as good as a sannyasi. So this person who is working in a factory, he is not associating with his work, not that he is trying to become very close with the factory man. Rather he understands, I have to serve Krishna, I have to take care of Krishna. Tumar Krishna sansar kari karo chhadi anachar. That's what he is thinking in his mind and he is performing his activities. That's how he is a tyagi.
Point to remind as to how not to associate the modes at work, because with my little personal experience, you are pushed into the mode of passion when you enter into the busy tunnel of people pushing around, and you have to be passionate to work without passion.
Let's hear from Prabhuji what he has to say.
Well, I just retired from work only weekend around and from the principle of this, and I was a school teacher. So you're talking about action here. So, you know, high school. And I was doing my work and whatever I did, I do it, you know, like playing. But my spiritual life was something else, you know. It's like, when the bell rings, I go home and then I'm into my, you know, it's 2 different things. You know, you don't identify with it. So it's just, you know.
Very good, nice practical experience. Does it make some sense? It's a very high level of conscious, a devotee required to go and work in the factory without identifying himself with the factory work or workers. In other words, Prabhupada, he gives this analogy. I think in Nectar of Devotion you have heard of this analogy. He's saying a man or woman who has got relationship outside of his marital relationship, he or she is performing, executing her household affairs so perfectly that she does not allow her husband to know that she has extra relationship outside of marital status. He is going to factory, he is working, definitely he is making his boss pleased with his activities. He is not thinking that this is the goal of my life. Why he is doing it? Because I need to support Krishna's devotee. His mind is with Krishna or Krishna's devotee. He is not identifying himself. Yes, I know my life is totally different from what I am doing. As soon as bell rings, I am out of the factory. I am going to my Krishna world. That's it. Because no prasiddhyata karmana. Without, you know, acting, I cannot maintain, I cannot support even my body, even Krishna's body, Krishna's, you know, devotee's body. And as a grahastha, maybe sometimes I need to, this is my duty also, to protect the sannyasis also. So if I am not doing this,
Sannyasi are supposed to be like nirakshar bhakta, ananya bhakta. They don't even worry about their personal maintenance. Who is going to maintain them? It's my duty, I am a grihastha. If I do not work, if I am not supporting them, how this Krishna consciousness is going to flourish? See, he has got so many ways to kind of, you know, occupy his mind so that he is actually serving Krishna even though he is working in a factory. He is not identifying himself with the work of the factory or factory workers. Okay. Last.
Actually, see, for last few days I was kind of rushing. I thought today we will just, you know, carry you through slowly, but it's taking long time. Anyway, I think now it should be the way. From next year on, I will kind of change. Maybe I'll take more classes. Okay. Whatever we can cover, we'll cover slowly, and we'll see next tomorrow. Okay.
Where is that?
Oh, you want to see? Okay.
You want to see?
Okay.
We have to see it there, huh?
Yeah, of course, I am taking from Prabhupada's books, Prabhuji. I am not making my own Sangeeta. You got it?
Yeah. 8 through 12.
You want to see?
And then the first word that begins from the
children. Okay. Go to page number 652. I don't know if you have this book. This paragraph starts with, as for detachment from children, wife and home, Prabhuji, if you go to the middle of that paragraph, you see one need only chant. From there you start.
One need only chant the Mahamantra, except the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna.
Hey, you didn't chant Mahamantra.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. You are escaping the essence. Come on, how can you say? Everybody is a sannyasi in Prabhupada's society.
He just went for prasadam actually.
Okay. Oh, okay. He's more interested in prasadam. Okay. See, four things Prabhupada is saying here.
Except the reference to foodstuffs offered to Krishna, discussion on books like the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and engage oneself in deed worship. These four things will make one happy. One should train the members of his family. This way, family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
If one can mold his family life in this way, develop Krishna consciousness, following these four principles, then there is no need to change from family life to renounced life.
That means he is already in the renounced order of life.
Does it mean that?
Of course.
Does it mean that he is sannyasi?
Yes. He is as good as sannyasi.
In real sense.
In real sense, yes. Actually, you see, you know, we have to understand what is the meaning of sannyas we are following in our society. Our sannyasis, they are simply engaged in glorifying Krishna, doing everything for Krishna. And here it is advised to a grihastha to do everything for Krishna. That's what the grihastha is doing. So he is also as good as a sannyasi. Yes, if we understand these principles thoroughly and try to apply, then we will not have this difference of opinions. You know, I am a sannyasi, he is a grihastha. No, what do you mean by? He is also a devotee of Krishna, you are also a devotee of Krishna. This dress does not make any sense. So like an external covering.
So, does Tyaga mean Krishna consciousness? Tyaga doesn't mean Krishna consciousness?
If you do everything for Krishna, definitely it is Krishna consciousness.
Can you do Tyaga without Krishna?
Can you do Tyaga without Krishna? Can you do Tyaga without Krishna?
No.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes, you can do in the mood of goodness.
Yes.
Like this Jnani is due. What is the end result for that kind of Tyaga? When they give up their work or they give up their knowledge, they fall down because there is no bhakti in it.
That is sattva-tyaga, the result of sattva-tyaga. But in case of us, we do not renounce saying everything is false, false. They say, neti neti iti veda pukare, no iti, no iti, everything is false, everything is false. We do not say everything is false. Prabhupada says, you go, give $100 to a Maivadi sannyasi, he will say, no, I will not touch money. You bring how many thousands of dollars for me, I will very happily accept it because I can use it for Krishna. He understands everything belongs to Krishna, nothing belongs to me. So he uses everything for Krishna. That is real tyaga. He does not accept anything for his personal gratification. Anyway, these things we have to kind of, you know, concentrate more and more, then it will become realized.
There's a cultural myth within us, pervasive worldwide, that householder life is a fall down from being brahmachari. Sannyasis are on a higher platform than householders. GBC is on a higher platform than everybody. It's a complete myth. All four levels are exactly the same.
this is changing. The old mentality, either or, but this is changing. I've seen in my area many brahmacharis after 2, 3, 4, 5 years or whatever, and then they take to the grihastha order and they encourage, you know, but it's not that seen as a so-called fall down or anything like that. I mean, we have a little big feast and, you know, okay. It's changing. These things are changing.
Good. Okay.
The question.
Yeah.
Now, Prabhupada has put, but if it is not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then something that should be abandoned. So my question, not just in relation to this life, but generally, how do you analyze between renouncing any amount of passion versus renouncing for, you know, for good purposes or something? Because Prabhupada says that
renunciation in mode of passion, I think, is coming, right? Coming, you'll see. Okay, let's go forward. Okay, thank you. Oh, you are moving so fast.
It's actually the previous verse 18.10 that's going to be renunciation
mode of ignorance. Sorry, passion. Yeah. I just directly went to the. Sorry. Yes. Correct. I just touched the end point. Read that one, Prabhuji, then you will know. 10 or 11? 10, yeah.
Translation?
Yeah.
The intelligent renouncer.
So don't see this slide, this is a different slide now.
The intelligent renouncer, situated in a mode of goodness, neither hate for the inauspicious work nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work.
Okay, then 11.
It is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities, but he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who has truly renounced.
Oh, really?
Can you
tell me?
Eight verse,
huh?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Sorry. See, I am not covering all the text, that's why. Read this.
Verse 8. Verse 8, anyone who gives up prescribed duty as troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort,
it's said to
have renounced in a mode of passion. Such action never leads to the elevation of renunciation.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but how do you analyze between renouncing because it's troublesome, and Prabhupada has said if it's not congenial, if it's not favorable, it's still troublesome.
Okay, very good. Let's take a case study. I am a brahmachari living in the ashram. This is winter season. I know that I have to wake up for Mangal Arati every day. This is the instruction given to me by my spiritual master. Doesn't matter whether it is cold or hot season. Okay? I fell sick in the winter time. And after a week, I rejuvenated. But still, I give a kind of clue, Prabhuji, no, really, I am sick. Saying, it's not congenial for me. No, you are cheating yourself. You are saying you are sick.
Because it is hard for you to wake up and go to stand in the cold shower because there is no hot water available today. That's why you don't want to go. Geyser, you know, is not functioning properly. That's why you feel like not taking shower so early in the morning. That's why you are not going. If you think little wisely, you can understand. Same thing remains to us only, our responsibility. Yes. Anyway, so text number 12, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, if you see 12, this is the end of this section, yeah. So if somebody is not working on this principle, the fault of not following this process of tyaga is described. What is that? Those who do not renounce in the prescribed way get results in the form of suffering of hell, anishtam, the pleasure of swarga, that is ishtam, and human birth, that is misram, in the next life. So if you are not doing everything for Krishna, either you will be suffering now, or there will be three results, as it is said. Next time you are going to be born as a human being, again you will be suffering. Or if you do some good work that will transport you to Swarga, if you are committing something nonsense, that will send you to hell to suffer in the hellish planet. So that's why everybody is supposed to follow the principle of Tyaga. Definitely those who are following varnashram dharma, and of course those who are in Krishna consciousness, they should do everything for the pleasure of Krishna. That's it. This is the conclusion. Okay. Now, we are moving forward. Then the next section starts from 13 to 18, where we are going to discuss about the Jnana Yoga. Here Krishna explains the Vedanta Siddhanta. There are five factors of action. What are those five factors? Adhisthana, Tathakartam, Karanam cha Prithak Vidham, Vividhascha Prithak Chesta, Daivam cha Ivatra Panchamam. Who is the key factor here? Super soul. Yes, Daivam. Very good, you know all these things. These are kind of, you know, well-known philosophy. Yeah, no, everybody knows. So this is what it is coming from. This is the conclusion of the Vedanta Siddhanta. These are the five factors. But a devotee understands that I am not the only doer. Me being doer is being conformed by the Supreme Lord. Unless he actually allows me to act, I cannot. That's how devotee understands this principle perfectly, and he follows the principle of Tyaga, and he reaches Krishna. Or in case of a karmi who is performing his varnashram duties perfectly, he has to also understand all these things, and at the end of his ritualistic ceremonies, he has to submit all his results to the Supreme. That's how he can be a Tyagi, and it will help him to come to a platform where he will realize that he is not this body, he is the spirit soul, has eight different qualities. Then at the time when he has this Atma Darshan, self-realization, then if he associates with a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, his path to spiritual life is open, wide open. Or there is another danger also at that time. If he sees, oh, I am him by following a Mayavadi guru, then that's the end of everything. He falls down. He is not him, he is soul, but he has to serve the super soul. Anyway, these things again going to come up in future. Yes?
So the purpose of understanding the soul is the doer.
Yeah.
But we know that we are not the doer, but the material nature and the material nature are the doer. So can you explain?
Material nature is doer.
Are we the soul, the living entity, the doer of everything, or the material energy, the trigunas, they are doing it? Who is doing it?
We discussed about this before in my class. Somebody remembers? Who do we identify with? Who is the actual doer?
Chaitanya.
sanction and the super saint sanctioned that.
Very good. Give a big clap. Right, big clap. Thank you, Prabhuji.
I only know that because of you.
No. See, that's what this is what we want. Yes, this is what Prabhupada explained in chapter 13. We concluded that soul is actually desiring and super soul is permitter. He is permitting, he is sanctioning. In that sense, he is the doer. How he is the doer? Because he is contaminated. He has got so many material desires. He wants to fulfill those desires, but without getting the help from the super soul, he cannot do it. He is still the doer, but he is taking the help of Prakriti. We took this example of if I am carrying, for example, this thing in my hand, who is carrying it?
Both.
Huh?
Both.
Your
desire.
I am carrying it. Who is carrying it? My hand is carrying it. Since I desire to carry it, super soul gives direction, hand, you go and help to carry it. Now hand is carrying it. Very simple thing. If I did not desire in the first place, then my hand will not carry this. Okay.
What about the spiritual world? Are we the direct doer?
Are we?
The direct doer of the
spiritual world. Actually, you see, this super soul concept is there. In the sense, he is the ultimate controller. Okay, he controls everything there, and here also he is controlling us. So in that way, he is present there. But like here, as you see, super soul is there, but there you see him face to face directly.
But there is no karma.
Not whatever you want, you are doing everything for Krishna. There is no question of you are thinking and doing. Yeah.
Just looking at the doer, they're actually in brackets.
Yeah.
So it means that there's something.
Something. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, good. Nice way to analyze this. Good. Okay. Today our speed is a little slow. Never mind. Then, next Krishna explains the rules for action. If you see 18, this explains about the rule of action. How the action is being performed. There are impetus for action. What are those? Three. Knowledge, object of knowledge, and knower. Then constituents of action, the senses, word and doer. This is how action is being performed. This we have to see little closely. We should understand this. I think I have put this in my slide. If I have not, then we have to read from Prabhupada's purport. Okay, read this.
First, one has to know the psychological process, thinking, feeling and meaning, and then the consumer. The inspiration work is the same if it comes from the scripture or from the instruction of the spiritual life.
Michael, you should see this nicely. You had asked me this question. So see point, the impetus is there to work. Okay? Now, what should be the inspiration for my impetus? For example, now I am driving to Calcutta. As I am driving, I saw a nice billboard by the highway lane, which gives a very beautiful advertisement about so many nice delicious food. Okay? Do I develop impetus to have, enjoy such kind of delicious food? Yes. When I saw the advertisement, oh wow, this is a nice hotel. Maybe I can go and have a nice pizza there. But, then wait a minute. Okay, I have some impetus. But is that this impetus because I saw something, I have knowledge, you know, I got the knowledge, so I am the doer, I have to do it. Should I use my senses and just go for it? Or no, the inspiration of the world should come from the super soul or guru, sadhu, sastra. This is where my inspiration should remain. Not that I find something is available, I must go for it. I have to confirm it. If I am inspired by seeing something, getting some knowledge, and I am doing it without consulting with sadhu, guru and sastra, then that will, you know, end me in problem. That's why I have put these two, impetus and inspiration. These two are very important things. Impetus may be there, but where is my inspiration? Is my inspiration based on my personal conditioning, desire to accept or not accept, or is my impetus is based on the inspiration coming from guru and sastra? That we have to confirm first.
In the last, you say something about action is knowledge, object of knowledge and knower. And can we connect? It is thinking, feeling, each one? Can
you
connect?
No. That is thinking, feeling, feeling is happening in the mind. For example, okay, let us see. As I gave you the example, you know, I saw one billboard where I found there is some nice, you know, advertisement about the nice dish. This is a kind of an object of knowledge, I got it. Okay? And knowledge is about the food, maybe there is something written about, oh, you come to this place, experience an ecstatic nice pizza. Knowledge is there. Okay? Object of knowledge is kind of that pizza, I have to eat it. And the knower, I am knowing. That means same time thinking, feeling and willing, everything is going on at that time simultaneously in me. Then that thinking, feeling and willing, if it is not directed to the inspiration part, then I am in danger. That's why the rule of action is that even though there is impetus for action, even the instruments are available, but still if I am not getting any sanction from the higher authorities, I am not allowed to do my action. This is rule for us. Is that clear? Yes, it's very clear. Thank you.
So in that first word, last line, not able to understand that. Can you see this line?
What?
18.18.
Mm-hmm. The sum total of all the constituents of an activity are called the accumulation of work. Yeah. When senses, doer and the action, kind of when they combine together, then what happens? Then you get the result. That's called work. Sum total of accumulation of work, yeah. That means there is result, then after that result is coming.
This is more of an accumulation from putting all them together.
Together, yes. Then
and
you
say, for example, I have, I go to the kitchen and I see like 100 dishes to wash. That kind of accumulation, we are not talking about that.
No.
We are talking about accumulation.
When we actually perform,
accumulation of all these senses, knowledge,
we are talking about actually when you practically perform the activity, then you get the result. That is what we are talking about. Okay. So, what is the highest knowledge for us as a devotee? I just put this, taking a reference from Srimad Bhagavatam. You don't have to read the Sanskrit, you just read this translation part from here. He perfectly understands.
That the origin of religious views described by me in various scriptures possesses very much positive and spiritual importance, and he knows that in less such duties, conflict, a discrepancy in one's life. Every place in complete shelter is my Lord's feet. However, a stately person ultimately renounces such ordinary religious duties and virtually alone, because he understands this called this distraction. He
he is thus considered to be the best among all living
beings. See, the highest knowledge we are talking about. What is that highest knowledge? A devotee, he understands, even though there are some instructions in Shastra to follow the Vedic rituals, why? If I follow these Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, then I will not be implicated to sin. He understands this, but at the same time he knows that, you know, I have no time to go for this so-called Sandhya Bandhan. I have a very important duty, go and stand in front of Radha Madhav to sing for Sandhya Arati. He is not worried about that. It is kind of not putting him in, putting a destruction to his actual service to Krishna. That's why he may disregard that Sandhya Bandhan, but he is going to Radha Madhav. That is highest knowledge. Prabhupada is telling us to do that. He is not just caught by the Vedic injunctions, but he is not also like, you know, out of laziness he is discarding it, or being an atheist he is just, you know, avoiding to perform those Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. No. He understands that, at the same time he understands the superior nature of his service to the Supreme Lord. After all, what he is going to achieve by performing those daily rituals mentioned in the Vedas? It is going to bring him to the platform of purity. But by just simply dedicating himself to the devotional service, he is already in that platform. He understands all these things. A jnani who is practicing so many bodily postures like in activities to control his senses, a devotee just simply accepting Krishna prasadam, he is happy and his purpose is achieved. How many devotees are advised, or how many devotees are taking kind of, you know, inspiration to go and, you know, do this asana, niyama and pranayama to control their senses? No! But there are many kind of, you know, devotees in our society who have controlled their senses. No problem for them. Yes. Because they know this is highest knowledge. Yes. Okay, good. Thank you very much. So then we are moving to next section where we are controlled by three modes. Okay. This chart is there already in your book, handbook. So we will not discuss anything about this chart. Then, okay. Something you need to do today. Hari Bol. Michael, come on, you are sitting quiet today. I don't understand. This is your man.
I'm taking notes from what you're saying.
Is that okay? Do some activity, man. Don't just sit. Okay, so now 5 minutes to 12. Along with your break, you can come back 12:15, two shot, 12:20. Okay, do something, some nice thing. Come back at 12:30. Okay. Now again, the groups would be like, you see, you choose your own partner. I'll not choose for. Oh, we have four groups. Yeah, just prepare something to make us feel nice. Four groups will prepare. Group number one will, okay, let us form the group first, then I will tell who is going to do what. Please form your group first, then I will give you the assignment. Four groups. Quick, man!
How many?
Go and grab. Okay, quick. Group number one. Group Michael is group number one. Okay, group number two. Prabhuji, you are group number two. 30 to 32. Group number three. Okay, group number three. 33 to 35. Group number four. Who is remaining? Okay, you all. Hey, come here. Haribol Sadhu, come here. 37 to 39. Okay, go ahead. 1, 2, 3, 4. Happy? Okay.
I have question. Next,
Okay.
We'll talk about it.